afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet and I'm here in the studio with Lauren Landis. I'm here not in the studio with the late Patty Fink, but she does assure us she's running late, very late.
Quite late today.
Quite late. She will be here. Probably. She might be here in time for the Ethiopian show after us, but she will be here at some point. It is still pledge drive. Ooh, we are just $10,000 away from our goal, so we need to probably only $9,000. I'm sure the gospel hour before Rabbi Joseph, I'm sure they got us much closer. But get us even closer to that and give us a call, 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893.
And we do take checks for $10,000.
We do.
If you got a check for $10,000, write it. Call us, 972-647-1893.
And for a $10,000 pledge, we will give you two T-shirts.
And you know
what?
And
a cap and an apron.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll throw in a towel also.
We'll do that.
Yeah.
One thing that we do have left over from last week, we have one more ticket to the Dream Syndicate, which is appearing at the Granada Theater on Friday, January 19th. The show's at 9 p.m. We have one pair of tickets. $40 gets you a pair of tickets. $70 gets you a pair of tickets and a T-shirt, hat, or apron. $10,000 pledge gets you a T-shirt, cap, and apron. You see what you can get for $10,000.
Exactly.
It's great.
But if you don't have $10,000, we'll take whatever you got.
We will. Not everything you've got, but what you feel programming here at KNON is worth. Because we do need to put in our share of the expenses. Monthly expenses here at KNON are $63,000 a month. And Pledge Drive covers a good portion of that. Our tower lease is our most expensive item. Tower lease is $4,876. The rent here is $2,750. Moving, if we have to. All the buildings around us are fenced up. Did you notice that?
I noticed that a couple weeks ago.
They're all coming down. And since we've moved in here, a lot more vacancies in this building, too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So eventually we're going to have to move. I think we have at least another year on this lease. But, you know, those are expenses that that come around every once in a while. And I guess we'll keep the door again to this studio because we have the doors to all our previous studios out in the lobby. Phone is $2,050. And it takes a phone line to get the signal from here down to the tower. So it's expensive to run a radio station. You know what you're not paying for here at KNON? Lots of expensive salaries and fancy studios that take up a square block of right next to downtown Dallas. And you're also getting somebody live and...
Yep. And you know what else you're not paying for? Our big, gigantic salaries.
Mm-hmm. None of
Which
those
is,
here.
Yeah, we get checks in the amount of $0.
Mm-hmm. But we can direct deposit them now.
Yeah, I know. It'll go, that $0 will get there much quicker. We do have a guest today.
Yes, we do. And our guest is Lee Dougherty. He is the president of Stonewall Democrats of Dallas. It's the largest Democratic club in the state. Not the largest Stonewall Democratic club in the state. The largest Democratic club in the state. Welcome, Lee.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thank you so much for coming.
Look who walked in very late. Welcome, Patty. Lee, let's start with how you got started, because being president of a Democratic club, very often it's not a political position at all, because they're small clubs and, you know, they support their parties, Democratic or Republican clubs. They just support their party's platform, their party's candidates. But being part of Stonewall Democrats, the largest Democratic club in the state, is kind of political. So how did you get your start?
I started into politics. It's interesting. It kind of goes back to my childhood. I remember growing up watching, you know, Reagan on television and stuff. But the first general election I got involved with was in 1992. And I grew up north of here in Allen, very conservative.
Oh, cool. So you're local.
I am a local.
Local guy.
I am a local.
It used to be just pasture.
I grew up in Lucas next to it, technically. So, yeah, that was a small, I think, under 2,000-person town when I was there. And it's, of course, blown up population-wise now. But the first general election I got involved in was in 92, and that was Bush and Clinton and Ross Perot. And
that's right.
I remember
flashcard Perot.
really involved. And I did a book report on Ross Perot, so I probably was a little biased as a kid. But I talked to my parents, and I was like, how do I get involved in politics? And they're like, well, call the office. So I called a campaign office, I got a pro sign, and I started picketing in front of my middle school, Ford Middle School, up there.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
And I did it all week. My parents would take me early to school, and I'd picket, and then later on the week, some other students joined, I think they were for Bush, but it was kind of interesting to, at a young age, to be like, this, politics is cool, and that's how I got started. More recently, with Stonewall, I've been a member, and I was asked to run for president, the president position, and was elected.
President of Stonewall, not president of the United States.
Not president of the United States, no.
So maybe after your term as Stonewall president.
The future's bright after Stonewall. We have a lot of great past presidents that have gone on to a higher office. So.
Patty, this just thought me of something. What was the first campaign thing you ever did?
It was real. Well, the first really kind of important campaign. I did some local stuff when I was in West Texas, but probably in 90.
Okay. So you didn't do when you were a kid. You didn't do any campaigning when you lived in Libya for Gaddafi.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, but I did. I was my class president.
Ah. Okay.
We had to campaign and stuff.
And LaRon.
The first, really thing that I've even close to being involved in a campaign was Howard Dean.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. And the first campaign event that I ever went to, when I was a kid, very, very young, I went to a Hubert Humphrey rally at a local shopping center. I was in high school at the time.
Yeah, but my first vote was for Carter. So, a little older than you, I think.
My first vote is the election that you're actually talking about, Lee. Mm-hmm. Was Bush Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And you weren't a Democrat then. You were supporting
independent?
I would like to say I was kind of an anti-establishment type person then. I was a rambunctious youth, and I think that's led me to be a rambunctious adult. Looking back, the vote split and elected President Clinton, so I guess I was doing my part for the Democratic Party.
So, a lot of times when you're that young, you follow whatever your parents do. What were your parents?
My parents, still to this day, are conservative Republicans, part of the evangelical bloc there, and they were Bush supporters, I believe. I'm going to have to ask them, but I believe they voted for Bush that year. So I guess that kind of fed me into, again, the rebellious nature I was as a kid of kind of, either asking questions or simply maybe just rebelling against my parents. I don't know.
So this week is Thanksgiving. How are Thanksgivings at your house?
it's good. One thing, my parents are wonderful people. We might see things differently ideology-wise. But there's been one thing that my parents have stood for my entire life is everyone's always welcome at the dinner table. We don't typically discuss politics at the dinner table. That's probably a good thing and a good
rule. Wise thing.
It's a very wise thing at Thanksgiving. So I'm very happy about that. It's a great, loving household. I was raised, great. I have high respect for my parents. It's okay to disagree with people.
Okay, that not discussing politics at the dinner table thing. My family, I'm the conservative one in the family. I supported Hillary, and they were outraged because I should have been further to the left. But Brian's family, they didn't discuss politics at all at the table. Who knew they were all on the same side?
Yeah,
I mean, that's
knew?
Yeah, because they didn't discuss. So, so we were talking about how you got started,
and how he ran for. Well, you said you were asked to run for the president of Stonewall.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any I don't want to do that hesitation about it, or were you like, oh, I'm in?
I think there always should be pause when you're asked to take on a lot of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the members pretty much ambush me, but you know, it's okay.
It in a back alley.
But they must really, really have liked you.
And we all sat down, and there was about, I think, 10 or 12 of us, and we sat down and talked about things and directions, and I kind of laid out, said, listen, if I'm going to do this, this is kind of the direction I want to go, and are you still willing to support? And across the very short campaign, it was 2 or 3 weeks, I believe, I met with a lot of members and, you know, asked for their input and you know, laid out some ideas, I guess you could say, the platform per se, and was elected and, you know, done my best in the last year or so to enact what I campaigned on.
And speaking of input, you can have your input at here at KNON. Phone hasn't been ringing, and that's your input, that you're not listening. And that's what it tells the station. So give us a call, 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Not just call us to tell us that you're listening, but call us to tell us that you want to support LGBT radio for North Texas. Lambda Weekly's been on the air here for 34 years. We're coming up on our 35th anniversary,
right?
It'll
be 35
right?
In August.
That's a long time. And boy, are you showing it, Patty.
Well, hey, you know, that's what 17 years on the air will do to you.
She even started on the air here with us late. But give us a call, 972-647-1893, 972-647-1893. A $40 pledge gets you a T-shirt, a cap, an apron.
And a $60 pledge can get you a fleece, a KNON fleece jacket. And
it's been so chilly this year.
It's been so chilly the past couple of days. So it's a great time to get it. I mean, hopefully it doesn't turn to 90 tomorrow. You don't have the seesaw weather we have, but at least you'll be prepared.
But that'll just be this week.
That'll just be this week, right.
It
right.
Lots of weeks kind of where it could be.
Exactly.
32 and then, you know, 50.
So give us a call, 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Unlike other stations, you're not calling the call center elsewhere. You're calling right here in the studio.
And we don't have our schizophrenia board operator this week, Josh Chris. He's not here, or they aren't here. So call. You can talk to either me or Patty or David. 972-647-1893.
Okay, so Lee, one other election that you've been involved in was for Grand Marshal of the Pride Parade, and you decided not to be part of that.
Yeah, I was really... like, that's kind of big of him. Why did you remove yourself from that?
He didn't want to be in the likes of other grand marshals like Patty.
Just move on.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a different answer to that.
I was deeply honored to be nominated, and for the people that nominated me for that honor. When I sat down and thought about it, and there was a lot of discussions had throughout this year, especially during Pride Month, throughout the country, and looking back at as a member of the Dallas Tavern Guild that, you know, puts on the Pride Parade, we have struggled through the years with inclusion of you know, marginalized communities inside this community, with representation of transgender individuals. With Latinos, the African Americans, in the leadership and steering committees, and in the grand marshal process itself. And I felt it very needed to make sure that individuals that are doing great work, they're doing great activism work, they're working very hard for the community, that they were able to have a spotlight on their work and their selves as individuals. And I just decided to go ahead and, you know, withdraw my nomination to make sure the community was seeing those people and make sure they get the recognition they deserve.
And I guess it worked, because this is the first year we've had one, an African American, and two, a trans individual.
So that's really great. The community
great.
Obviously responded.
And a Hispanic person.
No, that wasn't the first time.
It was not?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, he I talked to
honorary, I think.
Yeah, I can
We thought it might be Lupe, but
Lupe.
It wasn't the first time.
But I think it's great to see the community responding to these discussions. They can be tumultuous at times online, but you know, again, with the representation of adding the two colors, I believe in the Pittsburgh or the Philadelphia flag, you know, that sparked a lot of discussion about how the community can work to better itself with inclusion of you know, all types in the community, and make sure we're seeing and representing those people as well.
And what Lee is referring to, for our listeners who didn't catch that, there's an effort to change or add to expand the rainbow flag to and add the colors of black and brown.
Well, this was done in one city,
right,
to signal that, you know, we see you and we're going to work on this major problem we do have in this community.
Yeah, because the rainbow flag was originally, it's meant to be a rainbow, everybody, and a lot of people feel that it isn't, so let's make that more visible.
Well, I do think that we have a real issue here in Dallas. For as long as I have lived here, or since 89, when I moved to Dallas and, you know, got familiar with the community and such, we've had a pride in September, which is pretty much white guys running everything. Very few women. Really nobody of color. No trans people. It's just white guys. And then there'd be a Latino pride. And then there'd be the
gay
Southern
black pride.
The black pride. And we're completely separated. I mean, we don't come together as a community in our pride events. We do at times in other ways, and for different things, vigils mostly, when there's been some sort of tragedy in our community.
We need to take a break. And speaking of vigils, before I forget it, tomorrow is Transgender Day of Remembrance.
Yes.
There'll be a service, a remembrance at the Peace Chapel at Cathedral of Hope at 7 o'clock. When that's over, people are going to go down to the monument on the corner of Cedar Springs and Oak Lawn. And when I say go down, it's not going to be a march down there. People will drive down to the crossroads and do a candlelight vigil there. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laurent Landis and the late Patty Fink. Our guest is Lee Dougherty, and it is pledge drive, so give us a call, 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893.
I'm Dallas City Councilman Adam Medrano, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
And this is Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. It is pledge drive. Give us a call, 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. In that last announcement, they were talking about the Richardson Symphony and the Turtle Creek Chorale performing with them. We're going to have the artistic director, executive director, and president of the Turtle Creek Chorale on our show next week. So
right before...
You want... Laurent is saying he wants his microphone on. He's so pushy.
So just before the break, we were discussing, we started out talking about this attempt, and I believe in Philadelphia, to expand the existing rainbow flag to add the colors as a way to more visibility and inclusion of people of color in the LGBT community. And Patty was talking about how there's a problem here in our Dallas community, and it really is. It's been for years. But I wanted to ask Lee, as a leader of an LGBT caucus of the Democratic Party, what do you see, or how do you attempt that we can probably expand that, and even just in leadership or in inclusiveness in that?
Stonewall, to be honest, struggles with diversity in its own right. The board and leadership is mainly white, and it's in mainly men and the officer holders like that. And it's something, you know, once again, we have to work on, and it's not enough to, you know, say, well, you know, you should run for office, or you should, you know, we have to create space. And I think that's one thing that needs to be done in every organization, in every business, and every walk of life. Is it's not enough to just set a table that people can sit at. You have to create the space and an environment that they are welcome and their ideas are listened to and respected. And I think that's very important moving on, and I think the newer generation is taking this issue extremely seriously, and I'm glad we're having these discussions of, there's radical inclusive nature.
And Stonewall Dallas was founded by a woman, Christy Kinsler, who passed away just a few weeks ago, and the last female president of Stonewall, and she might have killed it for the rest of the organization, was Aaron Moore. Who is not related to Roy Moore, I understand. Is that right, Betty?
That is right. That is okay. Correct.
I get
she's
Roy
related
and,
to me.
Roy, well, she's related to you. Roy and Aaron, I get the two of you mixed up. And I'm sure Aaron understands that because
she clarified that she's not related last week.
Yes, she did.
She doesn't wear a stupid little vest with a stupid little cowboy hat. Ever. Ever.
Oh, okay, that's how I'll remember them from now on. If I see the cowboy hat, I'll know it's not Aaron Moore.
Right.
That one's the Roy Moore person.
Right. Yeah.
And for more conversation on this idiotic level, you can always tune into Lambda Weekly. It is Pledge Drive here at KNON, and KNON has supported the LGBT community since its founding, which was actually before the Dallas Voice. There was no other way to get LGBT news and nonsense anywhere else but KNON here in Dallas, because we've been on the air here since 1983. Give us a call. Show us that you support, show the station that you do support gay and lesbian radio for North Texas. Number is 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893.
One more time. It's 972-647-1893.
And I was to say, we remember the days when we used to get emails and letters in the mail from people like out in East Texas where they say they go in their rooms and close the door and put their headphones on, and it's the only connection
right
in their lives that they have to the LGBT community. Well, it was this show.
And now we hear, actually last week we got more calls from New York, not calls, but actually a couple of the more calls, but we got more pledges from New York than we did from Dallas, because we're heard everywhere. And you can pledge online if you're listening online, if you're listening later on YouTube, because we record every show and it goes onto YouTube. You can go online to KNON.org and press the pledge now button. And that's actually how we get probably half of our donations on this show.
It's so awesome, because you can see what the pledge premiums are.
Mm-hmm.
You just keep scrolling. Lots mm-hmm. of options.
Yep.
Yeah, and in this cold weather, one of the things that they added was a KNON scarf and cap.
That's really nice.
They are nice.
Yeah, scarves are so fashionable. So why not have a KNON scarf? Give us a call and get that. It's 972-647-1893.
And our guest is Lee Dougherty. He's the president of Stonewall Democrats of Dallas, which is the largest Democratic club in Texas.
Yep. And we had some elections, a week or so ago, and we did really well nationwide. Well, I thought it was three, but you're saying that there was eight LGBT victories.
No, transgender victories.
Transgender victories. Wow, that's impressive.
Including an intersex person, an openly intersex person.
That's awesome. So what do you think, what do you suggest for more LGBT people to even run?
I think what you saw last week was not only, voters rejecting this administration's agenda. The votes in Virginia were very healthcare driven. And we're seeing a lot of organization on the grassroots level, and a lot of groups are involved. And we have a lot of great candidates running, and they're very diverse candidates. And that's great. And what that signals, especially from the left and overwhelmingly with voters, is once again this rejection of bigotry and discrimination that seems to be oozing from this administration. And this is very hopeful for the future for the Democratic Party. And I think it's very hopeful that we run diverse candidates. From activists, we had a lot of strong activists that won. We had a lot of LGBT candidates that won, a lot of females that won. So you know, once again, I think this is a, you know, a winning structure for the future. And it worked across the nation, and hopefully it'll work again in Texas next year.
One of the things you said was we ran some good candidates, and I think that can't be stressed enough. Danica Rome is a perfect example. She wasn't a good candidate. She was a great candidate. And the reason I say that was she was running against somebody who proudly proclaimed to be the chief homophobe of Virginia. And after the election, he said something really nasty about her. And they asked her for her reaction. And her reaction was, well, now Representative, whatever his name was, is my constituent, and I don't say bad things about my constituents. Boy, does that say something about us.
Like, boom.
Yeah.
Our president could learn something from that.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton is now his constituent, and he doesn't need to be saying bad things. Like her or not, he's her. She's his constituent now. And I think that that just speaks a world of what a great candidate she was.
And, you know, in Banana Republic countries, they those who prevail go after their political opponents. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's trying to do now. He's trying to set up some. She's a private citizen, has been. Mm-hmm. She's not president of the United States.
Right.
Even though they tend to think sometimes and portray it, her to be. And they want to do some special prosecutor to go after her for stuff that has no merit whatsoever. And so I think it's crazy.
You might want to tell Hannity that she's not president.
I was going to say, right.
Yeah, I think Hannity's convinced Hillary Clinton's president. And
are you sure she's not president? Yeah. Have you seen this video that, what's his name? Late night talk show host. He goes out on the street asking people questions.
Jimmy Kimmel,
thank you. He asks people, do you think Hillary Clinton should be impeached? And most of them said yes.
Oh my God.
And he's like, okay, well, what reasons why? And they were given reasons why. Like, okay.
And she's not even impeachable.
She's not impeachable.
Do you know, I saw Bill and Hillary on Friday night, and I got a number of things out of it. Now, I am comparing this to the last speaker I saw a few weeks earlier, which was Trump Jr. So, comparing the two speeches, you know, like either of them or not, comparing the two speakers, let's see, Salon Magazine put out an article this week that said, the headline was, is Donald Trump Jr. an idiot? I'd have to fall on that side, having heard him. But you know what I got more than anything out of Bill and Hillary's talk? And this was the first time they had ever done anything like this, where there was a moderator just sitting on three chairs on the stage and Bill and Hillary talking. It's the first time they ever did that.
Wow.
The two of them just talking, answering questions together. What I got out of it was those two are closer now than they've ever been before. And, you know, I got from it that probably he was there for her after she lost, and their relationship is stronger than ever. And they were talking about lots of specifics, and, you know, they had advice for the current president, like, stop tweeting. stop visiting dictators.
And stop golfing.
Well, you know, Bill said he knows Trump very well. He and Trump golfed together a number of times. So, you know, he wasn't making, you know, wasn't one of these, well, we never met the guy. He knows him very well.
Yeah.
So, with stop visiting dictators, the rest of my family is disavowing any connection we have to Rodrigo.
Duterte.
Yeah, he's related. And being so proud of having a dictator for a relative is a great reason to call and pledge to KNON. So that wasn't the best segue. I told you we will interrupt the show for really bad segues, and this is one of them. It is pledge drive here at KNON.
He made good on
that. Katie Markham goes all over him. When she's on the air with us. So
give us a call, 972-647-1893. Again, that's 972-647-1893. We do need your help to keep us on the air. What is this?
I'm throwing papers across the table so other people can read them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So Friday, January 19th at the Granada Theater is the Dream Syndicate. You can still get a pair of those. One pair of tickets is $40 gives you one pair of tickets. And $70 gets you a pair of tickets plus a t-shirt, a hat, or an apron. And there's another way you can actually skip doing this by having, I'm going to throw this to Patty because she talks about it so well. And that's the
Elite Music Sponsorship. Thank you. If you get the Elite Music Sponsor for $500, then throughout the year, and there are, KNON has what, 40?
We have 40 events.
45 events during the year, most include food. Then your name and a guest, you and a guest.
Lee's ears perked up.
And food.
Then you like food.
Your name with any guest you may want to bring is just on the list. So you don't have to worry about, where are the tickets? Did you get the tickets? Are they in the car? Where, are they in your wallet? Oh, we have to go back for the tickets. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. Just go enjoy. And
tickets for a show, $50, $75 yeah. a piece, free. Dinner
for the whole
dinner
year.
For two included.
And again, let's not forget about gas to get there and parking, the cost of parking. All of that can easily run over $300 probably for one event. But $500 is for the entire year.
So yep. Give us a call, 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. And I want to remind people, because we know we have a lot of people who listen to the show on the internet, either streamed live on KNON.org or later on our YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and search Lambda Weekly and you'll find us. You can go to KNON.org and press the Pledge Now button and you can donate online. Speaking of donating and being generous, our guest is Lee Dougherty. Okay, I'm not good at the segues going back to the guest.
you sure?
I'm pretty sure. Lee is the president of the largest Democratic club in Texas. It's not that old. It's Christie and company started the early 90s or mid 90s. Mid 90s, 90. Six, you said, Lee?
96.
Okay. Not that old a group. Why do you think Stonewall Democrats here grew and grew so fast and grew so big?
Because we're awesome.
Because we're like so Patty's awesome. Answer. I think that's exactly it. A little bit, maybe another reason. I think you saw, and throughout, especially the 90s, and again, this is going through the decades of the queer liberation movement, and the 90s was a pivotal time in politics that marginalized communities, throughout history in order to, secure footing for their rights in legal terms, they had to enter the realm of politics. And I think that was very important because, we just, remember, marriage equality somewhat like it was yesterday, but there was such a long struggle to get there. And why ultimately that was a Supreme Court decision, running and representing and working with elected officials to get them to compassion about LGBT issues was of paramount importance, as we saw again during the Reagan administration, where the lack of importance to them left millions dead. So, I think the growth of Stonewall is because of that. It's realization that not only, as we just discussed, LGBT candidates can win offices and can represent people extremely well in their districts, but we're having to work with other elected officials to make sure they're representing the community and looking out for us as well. And I think that's what's led to Stonewall's growth. And again, Stonewall being very active in the LGBT community here in Dallas and working with other like-minded organization and activist groups.
And I think one of the things that is really such a badge of honor for the Stonewall Club in Dallas is candidates, particularly as we're coming up like on primaries in March and in midterms and presidential years, are amazing hard workers. And so many candidates seek out their endorsement because the endorsement may not come with money and filling their coffers, but it comes with people who are dedicated and work hard for those endorsed candidates. And so it's an amazing thing to see people come forward and really work to win you over.
And boots on the ground are so important. We need to take a break in just a minute, but there was a special election this past Tuesday for a state Senate seat in Oklahoma, and a lesbian won.
Yes.
And do you know how she won? The election before that, the Democratic Party poured in $200,000, and the guy lost by 15 points, something like that. This woman got the nomination because nobody else wanted it. I'm saying 15 points. I think he lost by 30 points. Nobody else wanted it. She got together a group of friends, and this was in a very Republican area of Tulsa. She got together a group of friends and friends of friends and friends of friends of friends, and they knocked on doors throughout the district. The incumbent, it was a special election, so the Republican didn't do that, and she won by 30 votes or so. And she did it by working hard, mm-hmm. and turned a seat, which is kind of interesting. That so rarely happens.
She's
lately.
Young.
She's 26.
Very young.
We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laurent Landis and the late Patty Fink. Our guest is Lee Daugherty. He is the president of Stonewall Democrats of Dallas. It is Pledge Drive. The number is 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. We'll be back right after this. And this is Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. Why didn't we have a little bumper coming in? Because I can't get those to work. Another reason to pledge when you call other stations to pledge. You know, you're paying for beautiful studios, modern equipment. We still use 8-track players, which are getting harder and harder to repair. So give us a call, 972-647-1893.
You know, when we come into the studio, and this has been since we were back in the crack house, mm-hmm. You know, we'd say, what works, what doesn't work? You know, mic number 3 doesn't work, and this CD player doesn't work, and this, you know.
Right.
Or like, that one's kind of iffy. I mean, we still have to do that, because...
We do.
You know, this is a volunteer station. I was excited when Gene Soslow was elected to the KNON board, and I told him on Facebook, I said, I'm so excited you're going to be serving. Could you please, you know, finally, at long last, get our DJ paychecks direct deposited? Because getting that zero manually is just so hard.
You don't have to go to the bank with it.
We could get a zero that we're all paid, you know, get it right in there right away. Direct deposit.
And it's such a pain in the neck. You go to the bank and...
Wait in line.
And zero, wait in line.
So. Yeah.
972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. We're talking to Lee Daugherty. He is the president of Stonewall Democrats of Dallas, which is the largest Democratic club in the state. You were saying before the show, you know, we were just talking about throwing things out there, and we were saying, well, all of these scandals, Al Franken, Roy Moore, and everything. And what you said was, yeah, we're all talking about that, and it's a nice deflection from what's really important right now.
It's a very important discussion to be had, sexual misconduct and harassment, you know, in every industry, Hollywood, politics, business, everywhere needs to be addressed. I was just talking about that the amount of airtime this is taking with the media when we have the GOP tax plan, or as most people refer to as the tax scam, you know, in the Senate right now. And this is a critical, you know, piece of legislation. It's a horrible piece of legislation, you know, not only because of the tax plan. And I know taxes aren't sexy, and a lot of people don't like...
Patty hates talking about taxes. I love it. I love it.
You're on a rush show.
I love math. I love taxes, but... What's more personal about this piece of legislation than anything else is the repeal of the individual mandate. So this tax plan is actually
Obamacare.
A health care plan as well. And, you know, once again, CBO scores show, you know, if that mandate's repealed, 13 million people lose their insurance, and the insurance market will
skyrocket
and became very, very volatile.
Do you know what I love on this tax plan? That they snuck in at the last minute. A deduction. Now, you won't be able to deduct. You know, you're an average working person. You work in a state that has a corporate, that has a personal income tax as well as your federal income tax. But that's gone. But what's in there now is a deduction for your personal ownership of a private jet.
Oh, yes, the private jet deduction.
Need a break. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the estate tax, too, or they, you know, they call it the death tax. But
now, the news story I saw it in had a picture of Trump coming off of a Trump airplane. So, yeah, who's going to benefit from this?
Well, the top 1%. And, I mean, when we talk about, you know, crazy things like repealing an estate tax, which benefits, I mean, a fraction of the top 1%. I believe it's the top 2/10 of 1%. I mean, these are the, this is just a couple of families that benefit from this, you know, the Walton, the Koch brothers, you know, and stuff like that. And that's what's really incredulous about this tax plan is the stuff, like you mentioned, the
they're limiting
right
deductions for mortgages.
And the mortgage deduction as well. Which
that's bread and butter for middle-class families.
But if you have a plane.
Right.
Like Jim Hightower was talking on right before the show about the GE CEO who flew two private jets everywhere he went. You know, that's insane.
It's making up corporations. Insane. You know, this idea that the Republicans have never been able to shake this trickle-down economic theory. I mean, we've tried this. It was proven wrong. It doesn't work. They're still trying to do it. And slashing corporate, you know, tax rates. It, you know, it all looks good on paper, but what they're not realizing is, you know, the effective tax rate of corporations right now is one of the lowest in the world at around 15%. So you have a majority of companies that aren't paying their fair share in taxes, and they're simply going to be given another gift with this piece of legislation.
You know where trickle-down works? In a place where nobody is greedy. Where when they say, oh, we have additional income, let me share this with the person who cleans the toilets in my office.
Well, unfortunately, we still live in a capitalist society, so we're profit-driven, and the that doesn't work. And you know, if there's graphics online of how trickle down works, and you know, the little wine glass and the glass on top just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, because you're right, it doesn't feed down to workers, it doesn't feed down to families, it doesn't come down to the people that need it the most.
And you know, corporations tend to just sit on their cash; they don't turn around and reinvest or open up new jobs. That's been proven time and time again.
They put also, the cash overseas, like we saw in the Paradise Papers and the Panama Papers as well.
But they also don't give it to their shareholders. And if they did that, lots of people have 401ks. Lots of middle-class people have savings plans. And those savings plans, even if you're not personally trading, they're usually invested in stock. They're not passing on dividends. That's a thing from the 70s and earlier. Dividends don't exist anymore.
Well, we had a better union structure back then, too. We've seen the union decrease. I believe it's almost 11% of the workforce now. And you're seeing this war on workers and labor happen, and it's happening under this administration. It's something I think the Democratic Party should get very, very involved in building a worker and a labor movement, because we have to resist the declining wages and this transfer of wealth up to, you know, the top, and resist corporations and the profit structures of getting those profits back into the hands of the people to create the work product, and that's the workers themselves.
And speaking of declining wages, it is a pledge drive here at KNON.
And our wages have declined to zero.
From 0.00 to 0.
And by that, what we're saying is when you give money to KNON, a $40 pledge is probably our most common pledge. It gets you a T-shirt or an apron, a cap, or a number of other items. But when you make a $40 pledge, that $40 is going entirely to the operation of the station. It goes toward our tower lease. It goes toward our office rent, our phone, tower and equipment repairs. The cable that goes up the tower, we're having to replace that this year because when we installed it, used 34 years ago, it's deteriorated to a point where it's having to be replaced. It might actually be replaced by now. But the station has been using a portion of pledge money, put it aside in order to save so that the cable that goes to the actual antenna that broadcasts at 55,000 watts could be fixed this year. Well, we need to pay our portion of that, and boy, is that expensive. That's where your money's going. It's not going toward fancy studios or amenities or salaries. So give us a call, 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Our guest today is Lee Dougherty. He is the president of Stonewall Democrats of Dallas, which is the largest Democratic club in the state. Being the largest in the state, do you find that non-LGBT, and Stonewall is named after the Stonewall Inn and the Stonewall Rebellion up in New York.
Not Jackson.
Not Stonewall Jackson.
Let's make that right. Very, very clear. Okay.
So the Stonewall Jackson Democrats Club of Dallas.
Please no.
Do you find that you get a lot of elected officials at your meetings or even as members?
Absolutely. We do have a lot of elected officials as members, and that's great to have. Of course, we have a lot right now because it's campaign season for many of them as we're in the filing period for next year. But I think it once again shows an ongoing commitment they have to the community, to represent the LGBT community, and to be involved in the group and, you know, listen to what we're saying and the issues we have and so how they can work on it. So I think that's a very important mm-hmm. thing, and there's quite a few elected officials mm-hmm. and candidates there.
Plus, it can be kind of fun to attend the meeting.
The meetings are quite fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to comment on, I've been serving, of course, on the LGBT task force for the city of Dallas now since it started. DJ actually was very involved in starting it. But I know that you've started to come to those meetings and been very active. And we see one other bar owner on Cedar Springs, Alan Pierce, often comes, or he used to come quite regularly. What do you think about the possibilities, and I know you're involved in the Tavern Guild as well, of we could move Pride to June? Because, you know, we have Lawrence v. Texas.
That is correct.
From 2003, June 26, 2003, United States versus Windsor, June 26, 2013, mm-hmm. and then Obergefell v. Hodges, June 26, 2015.
Are you ready for some honesty?
Yeah.
All right. It should be in June, and there is a number of reasons through the years that has been told to us that it's in September, whether it's representative of a certain case that was later overturned, or that it's cooler in September, which is also not true.
Thank you.
So I think it's cooler in June.
I was just about to say that.
So let's have an honest discussion. The reason, in my mind, and I this is pretty much a given, that it's it's a profit-driven model. And this is a fundraiser. The Dallas Pride is a fundraiser for a handful of LGBT charities. But, you know, the Tavern Guild is made up of bar owners, and I will be the first to admit that Pride is a very, very good day for the bars. And if we put it in June, we would be going up against other cities. And there's a lot of people that do travel to Dallas. And so I think
Specifically for Pride.
And that can be ignored as well. We'd have to go up against, you know, possibly L.A. and New York and some of these massive Prides.
We'd have to go up against, a neighbor right here in our state, Houston.
And
they
Houston.
Have the largest Pride in the South.
Well, we wouldn't do it that day, but we wouldn't do it that one. But that's the only other one in June. And they're on Stonewall weekend, the last weekend of the month.
And there's discussion to be had whether we do a Dallas Pride celebration for Dallas, or we, you know, go after the tourist dollar, or we just, you know, again, try to stand on our own in a festival. Again, this year it was moved. Things are happening finally that are helping to reform Dallas Pride, whether it's inclusionary talk. We have a scholarship fund because the fees are exclusionary for a lot of smaller groups. We have a public funding option to hopefully start to regress us back from taking so much corporate money, which a lot of people have an objection to, yeah. And who we get the money from especially. And I think there's discussion to be had. I know the steering committee has already started to meet for next year. So I think, you know, again, this input, the input from the community will really help.
Do you know there's another logistical reason that would be a problem? And that's the float maker. There aren't that many float makers around, and they did 30 floats for Pride, and their June months, the entire month, they wouldn't be able to do our floats. They're the only float maker here in Dallas. So that's a logistical problem.
There is. So. I mean, they moving anything, I mean, there's going to be a lot of logistical issues of moving that because, you know, the planning for next year just started, I think, last week. So we would have to start that planning even, you know, before on that. But, you know, again, it's as many input from the community they can be given. And, you know, people are listening. I do listen to a lot of people's input, and I do my best in those meetings to try to accommodate the number of people.
Mm-hmm. Again, before the show, we were talking a little bit about especially one race, and you said, yeah, politics is dirty business.
Very
comment.
Dirty business.
Yeah, comment.
What race are you specifically?
We were talking about the county chair.
You know, again, even on local...
Democratic county chair.
Yeah, you know, even on local, you know, races, we have, you know, contentious... politics is contentious, and a lot of people, I guess, see that aspect of it, I guess, try to stay out of it, and there's a pro and con of that, because if you stay out of politics, politics comes after you, and that's been
so
proven
true.
Every step of the way through the history of this country. The contentious side of it, some people... kind of enjoy. I believe it's called popcorn, you know, and a lot of people just see people fighting on social media.
Drama,
I
call it.
Drama.
Yeah.
But there's contentious, you know, stuff inside parties, across party lines, and, you know, it's part of politics, and to me, it is a very important part of politics. Now, unfortunately, due to some great messaging and all kinds of stuff throughout the last 20 years, we've become so polarized. That you're seeing this play out in a very real example, whether it's, you know, the base of the president, but especially in the Alabama race, to where you have individuals saying, you know what, I will never vote for a Democrat, I will never vote for a Republican. And this polarization is lethal in a long-term strategy. So, you know, again, there's a lot of work to be done. Politics can be divisive. We've seen a lot of contested races in 2016, locally here, races going on right now. Politics gets a little dirty sometimes, and, you know, there's stories of old conventions of actual floor fights. These people used to lock themselves into a room and duke it out, literally, on the floor, being hauled away by ambulances and stuff to win an election. So, you know, I'm not saying we should return to violence on a convention floor or anything, but this is a contentious thing because it's not only a power struggle, but it's a push for values, which is worth fighting for a lot of times.
And I think politics can be summed up, in my view, as whenever you mix people with policy, and you're gonna hit walls and hit walls and hit walls and throw some mud. And I think it's a vital part of our system to do primaries so that we can, you know, pick one. We can just pick who our slate's going to be as a party and put them, you know, all the parties do that, so it's a reasonable ballot. But I really hate primaries because it's friends against friends. It's people you know versus people you know. It's all this internecine, you know, slogging is just, it's distasteful to me. I dread it every year. I'm delighted when it's finally over. Sometimes there are runoffs, you know, but...
I love primaries. I love it. It's just, I think we need to move forward as a society to realize that it's okay to disagree with people. It's okay to disagree with friends even. But at the end of the day, we're at the same table. We're having a beer over it or whatever. We move on, you know, to what it is. And we've seen some divisiveness that's hung around. But at the end of the day, we're all at the same table.
We're out of time. Thank you so much, Lee. Thank you. Come back sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And our guests next week are from the Turtle Creek Corral. We'll see you next week. Have a good week.